What a great Sunday. Glad that you guys are here. We had a really fun and packed out service, the first service. I'm just glad that y'all are here. If you don't know me, my name's Todd. I'm the pastor. Just glad that you are here and know that it's going to be a great Sunday. I'm excited about today's message because it is the kickoff for the new series, New Day, New You. And I think it's going to be a great series. We are going through the book of Exodus, but not today. We'll actually start in Exodus today. But the next 5 weeks are going to be a lot of fun. And so I know that a lot of people with New Year's, they make New Year's resolutions. Well, today is the 13th, right? Okay, thanks for not much response, but today's the 13th, right? Yeah, it is the 13th, I'm going to tell you. It's the 13th, and I'm excited because for me, I don't know about you, like the 1st of January did not feel like the 1st of January. I mean, it felt like 2018, and it, honestly, it feels like today for me is like January 1. So welcome to 2019. It's going to be great. Anybody here make any New Year's resolutions? Come on, be proud. Raise your hand. Two of you. Thank you. Everybody else, no resolutions. Broke them already. They don't count. They're done. Broken. Most people, that's the case. Well, I'm going to help you with that because if you weren't here last week, it was just Vision Sunday. It was. Really, what I just wanted to give a picture of what I know God has called us to as a church, both corporately and individually. And he's called us corporately. He's called us together to be a city on a hill, a place for people to do life and a family to call home. And if you weren't here and didn't get to see or watch last week's message, you should go take a look. Because I know that for 2019, and really just in general, but God just very clearly spoke it to me. We're called to be a city on a hill, a place for people to do life and a family to call home. That's who we are called to be. But listen to me, it doesn't begin and end on Sunday mornings. It begins and continues in our hearts because God's called us to spiritually grow. As a church, we've grown a tremendous amount numerically, and that's great. But if we grow numerically without growing spiritually, then we're a failure as a church because, in fact, we're exactly opposite of what God would call us to be because we would represent him but not reflect him. And man, this message series is, I know it's New Day, New You, 5 steps to your best year yet. And I get it. That kind of sounds like people-centered. But this I know, that when we take the focus off of us and we say, God, I'm going to grow in you this year. God, I'm going to serve you and others, and I'm going to commit to be with you and others this year. Listen to me. You can guarantee this, that it will be your best year yet. But let me just say, 2018 for me was a hard year. But in a lot of ways, it was the best year, spiritually best year, marriage best year, relationships with friends best year. Even in the midst of all the difficulties and the trials and the pain, it was the best year. And I know this, that I'm very glad 2018 is over. Anybody else in here, you're like, I'm glad 2018, come on, raise your hand. You're like, 2018, we kick you in the behind, goodbye. But 2019, I'm telling you, is a year for God to do something in us. And so I'm going to challenge you, like literally hardly anybody made New Year's resolutions. That's fine. That means not many of you are going to break the New Year's resolutions that you did not make. So that's okay. But I'm going to challenge you this year to grow and then to go into the purpose that God's called you to. And so I'm going to challenge you right now for the next 21 days, because tomorrow we begin 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm just going to assume everybody here knows that we're three parts. Like, we are one person. I am one person, but I'm three parts. I'm body. I have a body. I live in my body. I have a soul. That's my mind, my will, and my emotions. But I am spirit. That's the essence of who I am. And when we want to grow, we must recognize that we have to grow in all three arenas. You guys following me? You tracking with me? And so I'm going to challenge you in all three arenas for the next 21 days. Here's the arena of the body. I live in a body. And let me just tell you right now, my body wants things. Comfort, right temperature, good food. Anybody else, your body really wants good food? You say, I mean, we're in South Louisiana. I want good food. I ate three times last week at Two Good Sandwiches right there on 14, right next to Famous Foods, because I'd not had it before, and somebody said, it's got a pretty good sandwich. And listen to me carefully. I love food. It was amazing. And so I found myself going there three times this past week. And my wife's like, what are we spending money on for the thing? I'm like, it was really good. I really wanted it. My body was craving it because it was so good. And I don't know about y'all, but if I gave my body everything that it wanted, it would be not good. Am I alone on that? Come on. The area of the body, fasting. What is that? Fasting is denying your body, your flesh, what it wants so that you can focus on something that's more important than what your body craves. Because we are consumers. We are consumers of food. We are consumers of social media. And I'm gonna hone in on two areas that I'm going to ask you to consider fasting on. The first is food. I'm doing both, by the way. And so we'll have a fasting guide on our website. We have that on our website and on our app. If you've never fasted, it should have a very clear explanation of fasting and what that is and what that looks like. It doesn't mean that you can't eat for 21 days, but you may want to say, you know what? I'm going to skip a meal a day, or I'm just going to eat fruits and vegetables, or because people consume this, spend more time consuming this than they do food, you may say, you know what, I think I'm gonna take a respite from social media. I think I'm going to cut my screen time by X amount. By the way, iPhone lets you know how much screen time you got, and I'm sure the Android does as well. It can be sobering, can it? Have you ever looked at your screen time and went, what the heck, that thing's gotta be wrong. Nobody here? I'm the only one, just me. Okay, not awkward. In the area and the arena of the body that you live in, I'm challenging you for the next 21 days. Let's fast together. Body, soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. Left to our own devices, left to my own devices, there's the opposite of that really big red button that you see that's the easy button with Staples. Y'all remember those ridiculous commercials from a decade ago? The Staples easy button, anybody else? Come on, you push it, it's easy. Mine was a self-destruct button, left to myself, and then it, boom, blow up. Man, that was dumb. But when, listen to me, when my life, my mind is conformed to God's purpose and plan for me, it always works out better. That's why I'm challenging you for the next 21 days. Let's read the Bible together. If you have your phone, you can actually open it up. Wait a minute, didn't you just say that we're going to get away from that? Not yet. If you go to the YouVersion, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, it's the most downloaded Bible app. They have actually a section at the bottom where you can go to plans. And my phone is now not cooperating. I'm at it. That's why. And you can find plans. You can go to find plans and you can search for the, and it's not even there, find plans. 1 year Bible. I'm just doing it right now. Is that okay? And you can scroll down to the M'CHEYNE, 1 year reading plan. Click on it. Over 10,000 completions. M'CHEYNE. We'll put that on our Facebook, and we should probably be able to put that up on the screen, honestly. Start the plan. I'm going to have to do it by myself because I don't have time to log into Facebook, and I'm not a Facebook. Jordan is telling me right now he's putting it on the app, so we'll have that up on the app as well. You'll be able to link you'll be able to link to that. The McShane Bible reading plan has been around for over 300 years. It's about 4 chapters a day. And if you read that Bible plan for the next year, you will have read through the Bible at one time completely, New Testament twice and Psalms twice. 4 chapters a day. Here's what I love most about it, honestly, is that when I start it, like Genesis 1, it's 4 chapters a day, but this is what I love. Y'all ready?
The Holy Bible.
because it links up to my truck and I can listen to it. How much time you spend in a car? Anybody here from Sulphur? Plan to spend an awful lot of time in your vehicle. You can listen to it, and let me tell you, it still counts. You can listen to it. Here's my heart, is that we fast together. We take God's word and we put it in our heart, and we're not conformed to what this world says we should be like. We're conformed to what the Bible and God's word says we are. And then the third, the body, we're gonna fast together. Our soul, we're gonna read the Bible together. Our spirit, we're gonna pray together. Prayer is not you talking to God. That's only a part of it. The other part is you hearing from him. And that can be putting on worship music, driving in your vehicle. That can be in a worship service, sure. You can be praying and worshiping at the same time, and it's kind of the same thing. Did you know that? Here's my heart, is that we recognize that while it's not always easy to fast, read the Bible, and pray, it's simple. Did you get me with that, on that? You following? Not always easy, but simple. I want to make it easy too. So we're going to fast together. We're going to read the Bible together. We're going to pray together. In fact, we're going to open up Monday through Friday. We'll open up the church at 6 a.m. for prayer. And I'm encouraging as many as of you as can make it that you come and you pray. And we'll have this open for an hour. Actually, I believe we'll have it open from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. And then on Saturdays, we'll open it from 9 to 10. Y'all come pray. Why? Man, that's kind of what the message is all about. Because y'all know that God is alive, right? We sang the song, "We Believe in You." Come on, y'all say that with me. We believe in you. If we believe that God really is, are we living like it? That can be convicting, can't it? Are we living like it? And I'm challenging you to seek God more than you ever have in the next 21 days. Jesus said this. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you knock, I'll open the door. If you ask, I'm gonna answer. It'll be given to you. Do you believe that? Yes. Man, then let's seek God. Let's be the city on the hill, the place to do life, a family to call home. Y'all ready this morning? Yes. Good deal. Well, I'm excited because we are going for the next 5 weeks. Actually, today is the first installment. I just titled it Getting Started. So we're really getting started, but we're going to take this week and really the next 5 weeks, we're going to go through the book of Exodus, and Exodus is going to be our template. And I'm excited about that because we get to see in Exodus a people at the very beginning, the nation of Israel, which is God's chosen people. But if you know your history and your backstory, it's not like he chose the best. He really kind of chose the worst and the least, and he turned them into the greatest when they were following him. Did you hear that? When they're following him, he turns everything around. Well, they're in a really bad spot at the beginning of Exodus because it's been 400 years of silence from God. And they've been in slavery that entire time. It's a bad place. In the book of Exodus really means to like move, to get out. It's how they get out of slavery and get to the very edge, the place that God promised them. That is the book of Exodus. And the reason that this series is called New Day and New You is because I really believe that there are some people perhaps here today, maybe you're online and you're listening to my voice, and you are in the place where you feel like that nation where like, God's silent and I feel like I'm in bondage. Well, guess what? It's a new day, baby. And it can be a new you, but here's how you get the new you, because God's not into self-improvement. God's into self-abandonment. You abandon your will, your heart, your desires, and you put it at the feet of Jesus, and you say, God, my life is yours. And he doesn't take it up and throw it away. That's what we do when we're left at the helm of our life. Is he takes it, and he brings us to a place of promise because we've trusted him with our identity and our purpose. The key scripture for this whole series is actually found out of Lamentations, which was a song, a poetry and a song, but it's Lamentations. It means lamenting, and it was written by a very depressed man. That's the truth. But this is what he says in the middle of his misery. It was written by Jeremiah that is referred to as the weeping prophet. And this is what Jeremiah says. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. I'm going to read that again because somebody needs to hear that. Y'all getting this? Are y'all? Okay. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. God's mercies begin today. It's 11:45. You know what that means? That means we have 15 minutes left, Pastor. No, that means that today is a new day and it's still morning. Come on. So for the next 5 weeks, this is what we're going to do. A new day, a new you happens when, number one, and this is every week, when we prepare, this is the next week, when we prepare for change. We prepare for change. Are you preparing for a change? The second thing, when we embrace our identity. I want you to know who you are in God's eyes, not by what other people have defined you as or by what you think you are, that you've prepared for a change and you're embracing the identity that God says about who you really are. Number three, that you understand your potential, because everybody here has potential that is not tapped into yet. That is the very essence of potential, that there's something that God has for you that you can do, but it needs to be by his empowerment, not just your sheer will. Number four, that you can overcome failure, that you know, as we go through Exodus and we look at each of these principles, that we recognize there was a whole nation and their leader that messed up royally, but it wasn't the end because they overcame failure. And number five, navigating rough relationships. That's my heart, the journey for the next 5 weeks and not counting today. And so I'm excited for it because, number one, I love the Old Testament. How many of you that you're just going to be honest? Can y'all be transparent today? Yes. You can say, you know what? I haven't read all of the Old Testament. Some of those little prophets. How many? Come on, raise your hand. It's okay. How many haven't read the Old Testament? Good. Guess what? If you stick it out for the next 21 days, you will still not have read the entire Old Testament. But if you stick it out for a year, you'll have read the whole Bible, the New Testament, and Psalms twice. Isn't that cool? But I want you to, we're going to start with Exodus because it's truthfully, overall, probably my favorite book in the whole Bible. I know I say that like every book, but like it really, it is. I've camped out in Exodus and I love it. And it's awesome because it shows us what it looks like to get ready for change, who we really are, what God can do in us and through us, how to overcome really terrible, horrible failures, and how to deal with difficult situations regarding people. It is like life lessons 101. And when we trust God through all of it, this is what we know. We can have a new day and there's a new me. And it's not even me, it's God filling me and me living my life in the strength and the power of Christ. Isn't that cool? So how do we get started with that? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, this is Moses. How many of y'all heard of Moses? Y'all know who Moses is? Moses in the Old Testament was a deliverer. But here's what's so cool. He was 80 years old before God truly began to use him. And he thought to himself, I'm sure at 80, after he had run away from the call of God, the nation of God, he had escaped slavery, but he was still oppressed. And he's now wandering and hiding in the wilderness, and he's taking care of sheep. And all of a sudden, one day, he's taking care of sheep, and God shows up. It's a burning bush moment. Most people, even if you didn't grow up in church, know of this because of either the Ten Commandments, if you're really old, love you, sorry, but that's an old movie, and the Prince of Egypt, which actually is still, you're kind of old if you know that movie well. Somebody's going to have to redo it again. Not me, dear Lord. And I'm just going to read, this isn't in your notes, but I'm going to read this. One day, Moses was tending the flock with his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness, and he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't the bush burning up? I've got to go see it. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him. Called to him from the middle of the bush. And he says, Moses, Moses. 400 years, God had been silent. A runaway murderer, a man without a country, truly a man without an identity. at 80 years old, God calls out to him. And he calls him in verse 7. It says, the Lord told him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. To get started, here's what you've got to truly believe. Number one, that God hears your cries. God hears your cries. Do you know God hears your cries? What does the verse say? Verse 7, I've certainly seen the oppression. I've heard their cries because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. God hears your cries. The second thing, God sees your suffering. God knows. God sees your suffering. The third thing, God knows your pain. Here's how you get started. Are you listening carefully? You get started with God. God shows up to Moses, who was in his own place of oppression and bondage. And he says, you know what? I see my people. I hear their cries. I hear it. I see it. I know their pain. And then he calls Moses to be the deliverer. Maybe you're here today and you need that same call from God to deliver you from your suffering, your pain, your misery. Listen to me carefully. God knows you. God sees. God cares. And he sent a Savior. And you may be saying, well, Moses is like long been dead. Yeah, he is. But God, in his infinite wisdom, painted a picture in the nation of Israel and with Moses as a people who were oppressed, who were miserable, who weren't where they were supposed to be, they weren't who they were supposed to be. God sent a deliverer to bring them to the place where they were supposed to be so that they could be who they were supposed to be. And he used a deliverer. Exodus is a type and a shadow. It's a picture for you and for me today because I need you to know this. He sent a Savior for you. There's a deliverer for you. So here's my question. I've got three questions. We'll go through these pretty quickly. Number one, do you see your need? Do you see your need that you need a Savior? Do you see it? Maybe you've been in church a long time and you say, well, I know Jesus is my Savior. Yeah, that's great. But do you realize you need a Savior as much today as the first moment you had the revelation of who Jesus was? Here's what God's doing in me, showing me how much I need a deliverer, a Savior. I need him. Do you know that you need him? Maybe you're here today and you don't normally go to church, but for some reason you felt compelled. Maybe you're online and you're like, well, I'll watch. I've heard somebody say something about church, so I'm gonna watch. Here's my question. Do you know you need a Savior? You do. Romans 6:23 says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to me carefully. I think people really want to be good. How many of you here, like, you really want to be a good person? Come on, you're in church. Yeah, of course you do. I would hope that you want to be a good person. If you're hearing like, nah, I want to be a really terrible person, that's actually fairly easy. And the reality is that even though we want to be a good person, oftentimes we unintentionally, in a moment of whatever's going on in our brain or our circumstances or our environment, we revert to that bad person. Can somebody say amen? Because that is the truth. We want to do good, but somehow we often end up missing the mark. And if you doubt that, just look at the person who's sitting next to you that maybe you're married to them or they've known you for a long time. They will confirm, yeah, you try to be good, but you fail an awful lot. Come on. It's reality. And I think so often we rank sin as like, if you do this, like it's terrible, and this isn't quite as bad, and this isn't quite as bad. Sin simply means we miss the mark. If this was a bullseye, if this television was a bullseye, and the bullseye is right here dead center, and I go to the back with a bow and arrow, and I pull back. I mean, y'all think I'd hit the middle? Come on, you think I'd hit? Yeah, I probably would, right? I hope. I say that, but the truth was about to come out and say, no, I probably wouldn't. I might, but if you've ever shot a bow and arrow, and by the way, this is where the term sin comes from. If you've ever shot a bow and arrow, it is even the best archers have to focus to be able to hit the bullseye. And they often miss the bullseye. And when you miss the bullseye in archery, now we're going way back historically, it's seen. That means you're missing it. It's sin. We miss the mark. How many of you here have missed the mark? I have. The wages of sin. This is what sin pays when we miss the mark, even though we don't want to, even though we're trying to hit it. When we miss the mark, it's death. Why? Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Anytime we miss the light, we miss what's right, even by just a little bit, it's darkness. And Jesus says, I'm light, and I can't have darkness around me, which is why even in the very beginning, he spoke the very first thing, let there be what? Let there be light. When we sin, even though we're trying to hit the mark and we miss it by just a little bit, it brings darkness into our life. Am I making sense, guys? And the Bible says the wages of sin, what that pays out, sin brings death because it separates us from God. It's Isaiah 59:2. Our sins are a separation between us and God because he is light. And if we allow a little bit of darkness in, that still keeps us from him. Fairly depressing if we ended the message right here, but listen to me. Jesus came, 100% man, but listen to me, 100% God. That means God squeezed himself into a human body and he lived among us. And he identified himself as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Why? I thought he was one. He is one. He's one, but he's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And whether you're Unitarian, you say, well, yes, God is one. I agree, God is one. But does he have three offices? Of course he does, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. If you're Trinitarian, and I'm Trinitarian as well, I'm both Unitarian and Trinitarian. You can do it, one and three, because God is three people, but he's also just one. Guess what? So are you. We talked about this earlier. What are we? Three parts. What are our three parts? Body, soul, spirit. Why did God relate to himself as Father and Jesus as the Son? Here's why. This is just personal belief. I love many of you in here. I love all of you in here, but I know some of you. Some of you I don't. I would lay down my life for you, as I know many of you would lay down your lives for me. But I don't love you enough for me to lay down the life of my Son for you, because he's my Son. See, you need to know you need a Savior and that God loved you so much that he gave more than himself. He gave the greatest gift ever in Jesus. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. So here's my question. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know who Jesus is? Or do you just know about Jesus? Many people historically know the time frame of when Jesus lived, where he lived. They know many of the acts that he's claimed historically to have done, and they know about him in a very dead historical sense. Some people know about him philosophically, like they understand the teachings of Jesus, and they embrace some of the teachings of Jesus, or at least they know about them. And they know the philosophical Jesus, and they know the historical Jesus, but they don't know the Savior Jesus. And there's a difference between knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. Like, I know about President Abraham Lincoln, but I don't know him. He's been long dead. I know about President Barack Obama. I mean, I can tell you all sorts of facts about him, but I don't know him. I just know about him. I know President Donald Trump. I know about him, but I don't know him personally. And there are many people who say, well, yes, I follow Jesus, but they've never gotten to the place where they are outside of simply knowing about Jesus to where they encounter him and they meet him for the first time. Because that brings transformation. Because there's one thing to know about light, but if you're in the darkness and you know about light, it's just a tease because you're still in darkness and you're waiting for somebody to go over and flip the switch. But when that switch gets flipped in your life and the light of Jesus fills your life, you are not the same because you've recognized the light. Do you know who Jesus is? Here's the last thing as we're wrapping up. Have you experienced his grace? Have you experienced his grace? You see, grace is getting what you don't deserve. A relationship with the Creator. Salvation from yourself, salvation from your sin, and the promise of tomorrow and a place in the people of God. You guys following me? Have you experienced his grace? Here's God's grace. Here it is, very simply. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That means God gives you in his grace the richness of a relationship with him, an understanding of who you are, and a purpose to which you can live for because you've encountered God because Jesus paid the price on the cross for your sin. What is God calling us as a church to this year? To be a city on a hill? To be a place for people to do life, a family to call home. But listen to me, that will never happen unless we choose to turn to the light of Jesus and walk in that. And let me just remind you that it is a choice that you have to make, and it is a daily choice that you have to make, and you have to turn and you say, Jesus, I'm following you. That's why Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's why I'm challenging you to take 21 days, that's 3 weeks, and seek God with all your heart. Take every area of sin and turn from it and walk in the light of God. Take it seriously. Why? Because we live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. And listen to me, it's getting darker. But it's darkest, always darkest before the dawn. And I really believe that there's a move of God that is about to happen. And I believe in some small sense, even beginning to happen because people are turning from themselves and their sin. They're recognizing who Jesus is and they're following him. Let's do that. Let's do that. And my heart for you is that you engage in the process. That you say, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to do it. So here's what I'm going to ask of you. Three simple things. Your next step today is the last thing. Attend church for the next 5 weeks. Attend church for the next 5 weeks. Why is that important? Because I want you to not just attend, I want you to connect with God and with other people. Get out of yourselves. Reach out. And it's 30 seconds that you get to shake someone's hand in the meet and greet. That's not nearly long enough. But we have a big old foyer and we have a parking lot. Connect with people. Listen to me. Something happens when you do that. Last night, my wife and I went to a member's church. They come to our church. They've been here about a year. And they're moved from Japan as part of what's going on with the plants. And I knew them. I knew who they were. But I didn't really know them. And got to go to their house and sit with them and hear their story and see what God's doing in their life. And it was so unbelievably encouraging for both of us. Why do I want you to attend church? Because I want you to connect with God, but that's only part of it. I want you to connect with people. Attend church. Then the next thing, engage in the daily Bible reading and the devotionals that will be coming out every day. It's going to be very simple. Engage in that. And then here's the third thing. Host or attend a small group. Why? Well, because I don't know about you, Sometimes I need a little encouragement, and sometimes I can give a little encouragement. But I know this, when I turn and I follow Jesus every day and I'm walking in the light, it's so much easier when I've got people on either side of me helping me and me helping them. Does this make sense, guys? Very simple. So here's what I'm going to ask you today. Do you really know Jesus? Or do you just know about him? Do you just know him? Like, I think I know him. But you really just know about him. Maybe you can look back to 20 years ago when you surrendered your life to Christ and there was a revelation moment and the light switch flipped on. But it's like it's slowly gotten dimmer. You need your light rekindled. Maybe you're here today and you say, that's me. I feel like my light's just gone a little dim. I don't want it to be. Everybody's staring at me, and they might stare at you, but I don't normally do this. But maybe you're here, and you know that you need to know Jesus more. Here's what I want you to do. You say, I know this message was for me. I want you to, and you say, I'm serving Christ. I'm gonna ask you to stand up in just a moment in front of everybody. If we have one person, everybody else is gonna cheer. Y'all got that? Y'all got it? Maybe you're here and you're that one person that you know God's doing something inside of you. You feel like you've just gotten dimmer and you know you need to stand. That's one. Here's the second thing. Maybe you've never really given your life to Christ, and today the light bulb's going off and you're like, I know about Jesus, but I don't know him. Let me introduce you. Jesus is not just some guy that people wears jewelry around their neck. He's God in human form who walked and lived among us, who never sinned, who lived perfectly. And yet he was persecuted as if he was a sinner. That's why he died a criminal's death on the cross, falsely accused, a fake court and trial. But he knew it was coming, and he willingly accepted it because in that moment when he hung on the cross, him saying, I am the light of the world, all of our darkness, all of your darkness, he took. And he died because the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. He died. He physically died. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again as a picture of what happens when we surrender our life to him. Maybe you're here and today you know the light's been dim and you need to stand. I'm going to tell you in just a second. Or maybe you're here and for the first time you're saying, I see it. I need to surrender my life to him. If you're either one of those people, I'm not gonna make you a spectacle, but I want everybody to know and to see. And this can be scary, but it's a good thing. If you're here and you say, Pastor, today this message was for me, I want you to stand up. Come on. Anybody. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Anybody else need to stand? You know you need to stand. Awesome. I want everybody to stand. I want everybody to stand, and now I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you. I know that may be weird or strange for you, but let me just tell you, God's called us to do this together, and the only difference between the person who just stood up and the person who didn't stand up is that they had courage in a moment to obey God, and we know it. I don't know about everybody else. I don't say that condemningly. I say that for us to take the next 21 days seriously. We're going to pray and we'll be dismissed in about 10 seconds. Listen to me. If you need to connect with someone, you go to the cross that's projected on the side screens. Our ministry team will be there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time today. Lord, we just celebrate what you have done this morning. And Father, I just pray that there's just a wave of your spirit in here, that we stand in awe of who you are, that God, that we recognize that you transform lives. And in every one of those people that stood up, Father, I just pray that you do a tremendous work in them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen. I love you guys. Listen, if you stood up, go pray, connect with somebody at the Connection Center. Love y'all, and y'all are dismissed. God bless.